Lovely to be here. Thank you for your welcome. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice to gather together to worship you and to be in your presence, to be with you and to be with one another and together to bring our worship. Father, would you open our ears and our hearts to hear your word, to hear you speak? Would you teach us and instruct us for your glory and our good, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. This is the third time I've preached this sermon, and I feel I need a drink of water. Mark's Gospel. I reckon it's my favourite gospel because it's so short, compact, marvellously put together. But like all the Gospels, it answers the biggest question of all that affects every living person. How can people today be right with God? How can people today be right with God? There's no bigger question than that, is there? And I'd like to begin by just asking what that might mean for us this morning, because we're all in different places, aren't we, spiritually, I guess. Maybe you are wanting to know, you're here wanting to know more about God and what that would mean for you. This story of Jesus healing a leper will teach us what that means for us to know more about God. Maybe you want to know what you need to do for God to accept you, how you can come to him. This story does exactly that. It tells us how. Maybe you count yourself a Christian, but just going to church and doing the right thing does not seem to bring you peace. This will show you what is missing and what you need to do. Maybe you have committed your life to Jesus, but things are dull and distant. This will show you what you need to do and bring you back to the gospel basics that we should never and must never leave behind. Now, this comes at the end of one chapter in Mark, the first chapter. An awful lot has happened. Mark has packed an enormous amount in here. We've seen John the Baptist preparing the people at that time for the coming of God's long-promised king, the one that the Jews called the Messiah. And the Jews knew, because the prophets had told them, that the Messiah would be God's king and saviour for the whole world. And we've seen how Jesus, marvellously, identified himself with us, with the human race, by being baptised. And at his baptism, Mark's told us that Jesus was publicly acknowledged as God's son by the voice from heaven. And you know what? One of the most marvellous things is we've seen that he is the first human being to resist all temptation. Do you know how staggering that is? Jesus is the first human being to resist all temptation. That is amazing. And then he began preaching publicly, Mark tells us, saying, God's kingdom's now here, and repent, calling people to repent and believe his message. And he gathered a group of people to be his disciples who would learn from him, and in the future they'd take his message to the rest of the world, or begin to do so. And on top of that, we have seen that Jesus has tremendous authority, hasn't he? Even over unclean spirits, unheard of. And he is able and he is willing to heal every sickness that people bring to him. There's nothing so far he's not been able to deal with. And he's done that even though he's made it clear it's not his priority. His priority is to teach people publicly, to preach about who he is and why he came. And incidentally, I'm going to just focus on the first two verses. But verses 43, 44, 45 just back up what I've just said about Jesus' priority, because he tells that man, doesn't he, when the man's healing and he's full of joy and he runs off and he doesn't listen to what Jesus says, and he runs off and tells everybody, and there are crowds of people come from everywhere streaming round Jesus, all wanting to be healed, which gets in the way of Jesus preaching. So that is what those verses are about. But I'm going to focus on the first part, this account, Jesus healing a leper, because it begins to answer that big, big question, how can people be made right with God? Jesus has the power. Jesus is willing and able to make us right with God. And I think this story touches us in three ways. Shows our deepest need, which we are uncomfortable with, usually. It shows us how we too can come to Jesus. And marvellously, it shows us how he will receive, what he will do. It shows us his compassion and his love and his mercy. And it begins, doesn't it, with a leper, a man with leprosy. Have a look, verse 40. And a leper came to him. And here's someone who's got what was at the time the worst possible disease probably you could have. It was incurable. There was no cure. And it was contagious. And it made him an outcast. There were strict rules in place, like COVID, but on steroids, where, you know, he could not come close to anybody, something like between here and Dorothy at the back, for fear of passing on the disease. And so he was an outcast, and he was shunned, and he could not take part in God's worship. He couldn't go to the synagogue and take part. He couldn't go to the temple and take part unless it was behind a screen watching. And it was regarded as like a living death. It was that bad. So you say, well, how does that apply to us today? It applies to us like this. And Mark's readers would know this. The Bible uses leprosy as a metaphor for our spiritual disease, our spiritual leprosy, our sin. What we used to call when we were young, the plague of the human heart. It's that invisible disease, spiritual disease, isn't it? It affects every member of the human race. It runs right through our human nature, and we cannot get rid of it, whatever we're doing, or whatever we try and do, and there's no cure for it, no human cure on earth. None of us can do anything about it. Now, it is true, isn't it, that today our society, as it moves further and further away from its Christian roots, is getting increasingly uncomfortable about talking about sin. But deep down, when you talk to people, everybody recognises it. Everybody knows it, even if we don't like to acknowledge it. But the thing is this, like leprosy, it makes us loathsome to God and it cuts us off from fellowship with him. And it's the Bible gives this picture of it dragging us down to that chilling finality of what it calls the second death, the absolute dreadful end of everything. So it's a serious, serious problem. The man was fully aware of his desperate need. I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? The question for us then surely be, how aware are we of our own spiritual need? Are we aware? Do we properly realise the consequences of our sinfulness? Our spiritual corruption brings guilt that, we are guilty before God. It's a real, real problem. It sounds desperate, and it is desperate, but this account, this little story, marvellous hope, isn't there? And we need to take careful note of what the leper did, because what he did three things. It was costly for him, three simple things. It was costly, but it is the pattern of our coming to Jesus, the way we come to God. This leper exemplifies it. First of all, he came. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? But he came to Jesus. That was difficult and costly for him, because there were all these rules keeping him apart from people. If he went up to Jesus, people would be, what's he doing? He was expecting Jesus to interact with him some way. It would have been costly for him. He was breaking society's rules, and it meant for him disregarding what other people thought. It was a costly thing to do. And if we are thinking about becoming a Christian and coming to Jesus, we will probably face the same pressures. What will people think? What will they say? What will my friends say? Will I lose my friends? It's costly. But when we see our need, when we understand what it spiritual disease of sin is really doing to us, it makes complete sense, doesn't it? Makes complete sense. And then the second thing he does, he kneels. He kneels, doesn't he? He came kneeling. He came humbly. It's the pose of supplication, isn't it? Asking. And he comes humbly. Now, I don't know how much he understood about Jesus being the Messiah, but we can be pretty sure he understood Jesus' authority and status and realised what an important person he was. He came humbly. And you and I must do the same. I mentioned that All Saints, something about some of the modern worship songs, which actually have been categorised as kind of Jesus as my boyfriend kind of thing. You may know them. That's just not on here, is it? We just can't rock up to God's Saviour King as if we're on equal terms like that. That's not how it is at all. We've got to abandon our sense of self-importance if we're going to come to him, haven't we? We've got to come humbly and copy this leper, even though it's going to be difficult. It is difficult, isn't it? Truly to pray and acknowledge how great the person you are praying to really is. It's easy just to pray, Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Proper prayer, I think, involves doing what the leper did. Third thing he did, very simple again, he asked for cleansing. He was humble and he was specific and he was bold. Specific and bold. If you are willing, if you will, you can make me clean. I guess one of the best things about being a king is you have authority and the power to grant requests to people who come to you. Old Testament story of kings, which I'm reading at the moment, is full of it. People coming to the king and asking for stuff. It's what kings do. I mean, you could say it's their job, isn't it, in a sense. And this man, Having made it into Jesus' presence, he doesn't fluff the opportunity, does he? He asked, and you know what? He asked for the biggest thing possible. He asked for the biggest thing. It was effectively impossible, but he believed Jesus could do this. He believed Jesus had the power to do it. He asked for the biggest thing possible, something nobody else will be able to do for him. Two simple lessons from this man. It's good to be specific in our prayers. Think about what we need. There's that verse in Philippians, isn't there? You know, think about what you need and then come. Think about your petition. This man was petitioning the king. Be specific. And second thing, wonderful thing about Jesus, we need not be afraid to ask really big things, really, really big prayers. Some of us will remember the old hymn, "You are coming to a king, large petitions with you bring, for his grace and power are such no one can ever ask too much." I mean, that's it, isn't it? Jesus has the authority and power to give whatever we ask. So this man, he came, he knelt humbly, and he asked for what he needed most. And as sinners with our own desperate needs, he's a template. What he does is a template for us to follow, whether it's the first time, coming to God the first time. I remember doing that 56 years ago, roughly, and thinking, will it work? Will he listen? Is it true? And I asked, and I woke up in the morning, everything was different. Everything was different. Marvellous. It's the template, whether it's the first time or the thousandth time. This is the template for coming and seeking to be made right with God. But that's only half the story, isn't it? The best part is yet to come. Best part is what Jesus did. What Jesus did. And we're told three things that Jesus did. He was deeply moved, first of all. Verse 41, do you see that? Jesus was moved with pity. I mean, it's a strong word. He was deeply, deeply affected, full of compassion as he saw the man's misery. I think that's so encouraging for us, isn't it? Think about us when we pray. Think about coming to Jesus. To know that you're coming to somebody who isn't standing on their dignity, sort of aloof and cold and distant, but somebody who clearly shows that he cares about you and me and our needs. I mean, isn't that just so encouraging? Gives us hope, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't that make you want to pray? And the other thing, there's no hesitation at all on Jesus' part, is it? This is utterly extraordinary too. He touched the leper. He stretched out his hand. He stretched out his hand and touched him. Nobody ever willingly touched a leper because you became unclean. You probably caught it and you'd be religiously unclean. And that was a huge deal. Nobody ever did. But Jesus touched the man. Utterly marvellous. Would this be the first time anybody had done that kind of thing since he caught it? Jesus doesn't hesitate. In effect, you see, what he's doing is he's coming right down. This man was the lowest, you know, shunned, despised. Jesus came right down and touched him, identifies with him, so he can take away the man's uncleanness. I think that's wonderful, and I think it's just exhilarating to know that Jesus cares like that for us. Doesn't that sort of revolutionise how you think about coming to him? Should do, shouldn't it? Should take away all fears. about coming to the King of Kings for ourselves. And lastly, he spoke. He spoke. Now, God's words, Jesus' words, have power. God's words have enormous, unlimited power. Jesus' words have enormous, unlimited power. He spoke. And you know what? Speaking indicates that the person receiving knows what's happening, the people around knows what's happening. Jesus' words convey instant healing to this man. I mean, it's like in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. God said, and there was, just like that. Same thing here. I will be clean. I mean, worth thinking again, isn't it? For ourselves, what that means for us. Jesus is never unwilling to listen to our prayers. Never. However bad our sin is, he is never unwilling. He is willing to engage people like us in our deepest needs, so that he can speak words of healing to us. Finally, what happened? What happened? Well, verse 42 tells us Jesus' words conveyed immediate healing power to this man. The man who recognized Jesus' power, who'd come to him, willing to humble himself, found the courage to approach him and to ask for the biggest thing possible. The result, instantaneous, complete healing. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. People there would have been, you know, the crowd would have been open-mouthed. People would be going, what? What? Extraordinary. This is miraculous, astonishing, utterly wonderful. In response to this person's deep need, Jesus, deeply moved, touched him, cleansed him with a single word. There is just a single word in the original, apparently. Cathartic. It's a healing word. Be clean. Jesus, amazing. So, do you realize that we can know that same care for ourselves today? We can receive that power that cleanses us from sin too. Comes through Jesus alone. That's the point of Mark's gospel. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is the one God sends to deal with our problems. He does it so that we can be restored to fellowship with God. I woke up next morning and I knew it. I was right with God. Do you know that? Do you truly know that? There's a well-known old hymn. And it puts it pretty directly, and it comes from an age when evangelism was more public. And people would, you know, sing this in gatherings in the street. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, your Saviour King, who is able to deal with our deepest, most terrible need. Take away our sin, take away all our uncleanness, and make us right with you, and restore us to fellowship with you and with your people. Father, please would you do that, for would you help us to live in the light of that all and each of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.